I'm sure you know, but we'll read it. Proverbs chapter 16. Right towards the end of the chapter, verse 32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than mighty." He that is slow to anger, you know, we know what it's like to be quick to anger, right? You hear a noise and all of a sudden, what was that noise? Right? Or something, you know. You hear a kid crying or a kid whining, parents, right? You hear the whine and immediately you're quick to anger. Cut the whining out! Had it up to here! But he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Slow to anger, that's like something that goes on within you, right? In your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit. But then mighty, right? Like outward strength. I can lift a car. My dad had an uncle in the 50s, 60s, and he was growing up. You know those cars, 50s and 60s, right? He could lift the front end of the car, right? He had an uncle that was mighty. And he that rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city. We know, you can imagine, right? A general commanding an army, strategy, thinking ahead of what the enemy could be doing and planning for that, planning for every possible outcome. And then also having to have charisma to be able to rally the troops, having to have a certain level of intelligence when it comes to what type of weaponry we're going to be using, what's appropriate for the situation. This type of a man who can take a city. But better is he that rules his spirit, verse says. And I think this is kind of like a clue to us into our life a little bit, that our life, we can be tempted to think that our life is lived here, right? Where we see things, where we evaluate things, where we can take in a lot of information, we can digest it, and then we can come up with a solution to the problem that we are set, that is set in front of us, right? And I can be tempted to think that that's it, that is my whole life. Kids whining, I need to stop the whining. How do I stop the whining? Equals solution, right? But there's something behind that whole process. There's these little twists and turns that happen in my heart and in my soul and in my spirit that are forming who I am as a person, right? And the decisions that I make in those moments are forming my character, are forming my spirit. They are shaping me, right? Maybe you think of a word like character or virtue or, here it says ruling your spirit. Having governance over yourself. Maybe it used to be called self-control, and we don't like maybe those words, but it's kind of like this. That in our life now, we were talking this morning with the worship guys. I was telling Josiah, he's picking back up the drums a little bit. Didn't he do a great job this morning? Josiah, come on. Whoo! Josiah, picking it up. He's like, man, I made so many mistakes. But I was telling him, on Wednesday, okay, if you're at this level, what will elevate you the quickest is listening to the music that you're supposed to be playing and then listening to the people around you as you're playing it. Being a listener will elevate you so quickly, you know, just to be a listener. And then I was thinking of it this morning, too. I was thinking about the songs that we were going to sing, and I was outside, you know, thinking about it. God, like, I feel like that you've something in my heart and in my life for myself, for my wife, for my family, for our job, you know, for just the days ahead. How often do I actually believe that word that you've spoken? I want to be more of a listener, you know, because in Isaiah chapter 50, it says that what he awakens me morning by morning. What's the first sense that's awakened in the morning usually? Yeah, maybe crying. Oh, God, no. Brain's not even working yet, right? A lot of baby references because there's a baby right there, you know. That's why I usually try to get up real quick before the baby's out and go outside before I hear the whining. I'm joking, kind of. But to have an ear, right? To be a hearer. To be a hearer. What a great thing. How could I possibly be somebody who has governance over my thought life and my heart and what's coming in and what's going out? How could I be that kind of a person? I think one of the keys is to be a hearer. Right? To be a hearer. And what do I need to be a hearer? I think, like, I need to quiet down a little bit. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I could have a lot going on the inside, a lot of plans, a lot of ideas, a lot of things that I want to jump into. I could try this, I could try that, I could try the other thing, because I really love, like, learning things. I love learning new things. I love learning everything I can about something, you know? And that can create a lot on the inside. And then if something goes wrong, it's a worst case scenario. Oh my God, our house is going to fall into a sinkhole, you know? Like, it's just the worst possible thing, and then your mind goes in that direction. A lot of noise, right? And there's a verse in the Psalms where David talks about God lifting him up above the waves, above the sound, above the noise. But we could quiet ourselves down, cast our anxieties on him, because he is the generous giver. Right? And we could, you know, I like almost a picture, taking those things, whatever those things are, and just like putting them out in front of me. You know, like, God, here's this thing, here's that thing, here's the other. And I don't know if you're going to tell me anything now about it, but here they are. Because in Psalm 73 verse 1, it says that God is good to Israel of those who are of a clean heart. And it doesn't mean clean like you never do anything wrong, you're right, you're on. It means clean like you've cleaned it out. You've cleaned house. You've emptied it out before God. And that's when we can recognize that he is good to us. Isn't that amazing? No, we're full of all kinds of things, ideas. It says that the plans and the preparations are in the heart of a man. The answer of the tongue, what am I actually going to do in this situation? What am I actually going to say? What's the answer? Well, it's from the Lord, right? We clean everything out, and then we find, oh God, you are actually still good. This is who you are. And then Psalm 73, you know the story, goes on where Asaph, who wrote the psalm, he's looking out into the world and evaluating his life that way. If I could only take this city, I would be all right. If I could get mightier, I would do well. But then, right in the middle of the psalm, it says, then I went into the tabernacle, into the sanctuary, into the quiet place. Tabernacle was a tent. It was dark. It was quiet. Little candlelight there. You know, sweet smelling incense. There was even a little food in there. You could hang out in there like Moses used to do. It was dark and quiet in there. He had to quiet down to get in there. And there, he says, I understood. Isn't that amazing? There, I understood. That what? What did he understand? That I can't take this city, but God, you have something for my spirit. You have something for my heart and for my mind. You have something for me in this moment of life. And the thing I was thinking about this morning, like, maybe God has spoken something to you. Maybe God's given you something, a vision, a dream, a passion, something in your life. Hopefully he has. I was thinking, man, how lightly I hold that, how infrequently I think about that, right? When there is nothing impossible with him. We just sang it. Like, we believe it, that there really is nothing impossible with him, that God, even though I can't take this city, God has still spoken it over me. And like, God, how great would it be if I could rule there in that thought, right? How great would that be? I'm tempted to think that if I take these steps and do these things in my life, that that will be the result, because I see it happening out there. But I need to quiet down, get into the tabernacle. And you know what that word means in the Hebrew? It means like two pillows. It's a secret. You know? Two pillows meaning like in that culture at the time when that language was being spoken, they would sit on the floor like in the Passover. You see pictures of the Last Supper. They're all on the floor in this low table and leaning on these pillows. Right? And there's John leaning on a pillow on Jesus. Right? It's close. It's intimate. It's quiet. Right? And there is where we get to understand that God is good to us. And we do take steps and we do make plans. I love this quote by Eisenhower. I said it. Plans. Right? plans are useless, but planning is invaluable. I think he's saying that, you know, you get into a battle, right? You guys would know, and stuff hits the fan and the plan could go right out the window. You have to adapt, right? But because you were the person who got into the tabernacle and quieted yourself down and heard from God, you now have the character, the fortitude. You have the Holy Spirit ministering to you deep in the inner man so that you can adapt and you can overcome in His victory. Right? What an amazing place to be. To live step by step in Christ's victory. And though we walk naturally in the natural world, we don't war that way. Right? But we have jobs and families and we have to eat food to survive. And any, you know, I love this, right? Oh God, like there's songs about this. Like it was in a message we were listening to. Like God, only you. I only need you. And the preacher said, well then, what I want you to do right now is just exhale and don't take another breath until you realize that God is not the only thing that you need. In other words, yes, you do live a natural life. You do need to eat, you do need to breathe, you do need to drink water. There are things that you do need to do. But the point of Christianity is that Christ is in those things with you. That nothing that we live is solely natural. I don't believe there is anything in this world that is solely natural. Right? But that God couldn't inhabit. Just like He does words that come out of our mouth. Right? He says it, Psalm 22. And I think that more often than not, if you're looking for the voice of God, that He is going to speak something to you that you think, why didn't I think of that? It's so simple. Just speak a word of encouragement. Just believe the promise I gave to you. Just crack the Bible open and read a verse 10 times and just see what it does. Just have a prayer for your coworker instead of reaming him out over how big of a doofus he is. David. I'm joking. Now, David is a gracious coworker. He just gives the look, you know. He doesn't say the words. He just gives the look. And we all know what the look means. Right? But, man, how much better would it be? And I am really crushing it at life. But my spirit is a mess. Right? But my life is a mess. Like, I've done A, B, got to C. But I have no joy, no peace, there's no love, there's no passion, there's no energy in my life, it's drudgery. Well then, you know, great, you took a city, right? But how much better get into the quietness, into the tabernacle, just say, God, you know, what do you got? What are you speaking over me? What's your prayer over me? Right? What involvement do you have in these natural things that are coming down the pike at me? Because I guarantee you, He has involvement there. Right? Because we are not solely natural beings. Though we breathe, though we eat, though we sleep, though we have words with other people and interactions, none of those things are solely natural. Why? Because you have a spirit. The Almighty God dwells in it. Isn't that amazing? So just to encourage you this morning, haven't taken any cities recently? No biggie. But have you learned just how to hear the voice of God a little bit? Let Him speak over your spirit. Words of encouragement, words of peace, words of love, words of vision, words of edification. Take it. This is the time of year when I get most pumped about all this stuff. Right? Thanksgiving, Christmas, like it's just in the air that God came to live. So just let that minister to you this season. I know, you know, it can be stressful, like think about money a lot this time of year because it's the time of year when we seem to have the least of it, you know, but, you know, we can just think too, man, God, You came to live with us in the natural world, right? In this world. And though we walk in it, there is something deep going on, right? Supernatural. Amazing. Amen.
Well, that was a great word there, Pastor John. Wasn't that a great word he preached? I feel like I don't even have to preach. I mean, in a good way. You know what I mean? When someone just, it's like, oh, wow, my job is done here. You know, by the grace of God, huh? Let's and he changes my message too. That's good too, I guess, you know. Let's go back to Pastor John's first verse. Where was that, Pastor John? Thank you. In Proverbs 16, I was sure you were going to go to the seven things the Lord hates, you know. And then you graced us out. It went the other way. I'm like, all right, give it to them. Let's preach some fire and brimstone here, you know, which is, if people do that, okay. Slow to anger. Who's slow to anger? I like to be. Would you like to be? I like to be slow to anger. I'm not. I get angry yesterday. You know, you get a little older, you know, you start to forget stuff. I mean, you guys are young, you're sharp. You never forget anything. So yesterday, you know, it comes to the end of the day, I'm going to go get some pizzas. I can't find my money. You know, I put it the same place, you know, like one of our safeties in old age is you just do the same thing all the time. No change, right? It's in the same spot. There's the money. So I go get dressed because I got to run in and we do Papa Murphy's on Saturday night and there's no money. And I'm like, man, what did you do with your money, Drew? And then I'm thinking, pants pocket. What pants did I wear yesterday? Well, it's the same pants I got on the day. They're not in that pocket. I'm thinking, now where else have you, you know, so you go through that mental, anyone do this besides me? The mental scenario. I'm lamenting. I'm suffering. And I'm like, and I'm down in my wife's car. That's where I was yesterday. The money fell out, you know, in my pocket. I'm down in my car and the money fell and it's nowhere. And I finally I wasn't worried about the money. The money clip was a really nice gift from my wife. You know, that's what I was really concerned about, that I lost that thing. And then I'm like, oh, wife, I lost my money. She goes, oh no, I took it. I mean, I got angry. You know, it's because of all the mental and suffer I just went through, figuring I'm just losing my mind once and for all. I gets over. And it's like, I don't mind if you take the money, just put it back where in the spot. Well, that was my anger, my not slow to anger yesterday. And then it went on for too long, you know. Okay, well, that has nothing to do with the message. It's just being real, right? Oh, but he that rules his spirit. You know, what does it mean, like, to rule my spirit? First off, you know what it says in Proverbs 25? You know, I love these put these two together. Proverbs 25:28. He that has no rule over his spirit. This is the problem. I mean, this is a big problem. It's even a big problem for believers. No rule over my own spirit. You know, people say, oh, okay, sirrah, sirrah, I got God, whatever. No, I love Pastor John's example. All right, blow out and don't breathe in. You know, don't give me that. He says, he that has no rule over his spirit is like what? A city with broke down walls. What does that mean? Like, if I'm not making a decision before the Spirit of God, what's coming in? Anything that wants to. Right? I mean, we are called to be like, we're on the offense because the gates of hell cannot prevail, right? In Matthew 16. But we're on the defense. That means we're ruling our own spirits. Like, our decisions in our minds are very important. We're not just taking it, but we have guidelines to follow and we take charge over our spirits. What we let in, how we think, how much leisure time we get, right? This is important. We think it's not. And you know what? The enemy, you know, I mean, you know, thank God it does tell us in Isaiah, when the enemy does come in, I can set up the standard. But what am I to have? Rule over my own spirit. And in Proverbs chapter 4, you know, he says it like this way about, you know, guarding your heart, right? I believe it's there. 23, Proverbs 4. Keep your heart with what? Diligence. It means like I'm keeping it. Like how? Why? Because it's the issues of life. Right? What am I letting in? You know? What am I taking in? What am I allowing to influence me? Yeah, of course we live in life and we look out and there are the things, you know, to take care of our home and our family and our food. But really, like, the rule is on the inside where the Spirit of God is, right? And I've got to make these decisions. Like, even like, how am I going to think, right? Like, can I control, like, by the Spirit of God, what thoughts I allow to come into my head? Can I? I better. Otherwise, I am like what? A city with a broke down wall. And what happens? Every offense flies in, right? Every demonic activity comes in. So I've got a big call in my life that, like, I'm watching what I say, what I do, and really, how do I, you know, it's very dangerous when I let my mind go down a road that it shouldn't, you know. I should be able to control it. I should have my stop signs in my own mind. Nobody sees it but me, right? Nobody knows where my mind goes, but actually it's the issues of life. It's very important because if I allow my mind to go somewhere it shouldn't, next thing I'm going there with it. Amen? Right? So what am I to do? I have rule over, you know, I'd have rule over my spirit. I loved it as Pastor John was talking about, pillow talk. Now we mean that in the pure sense, you know, husband and wife, your pillows together. Remember he was saying, what term did you use when you used the pillow talk? Tabernacle. Look at it in, think of it this way, and I think it's in Psalm 91. And he calls it like the secret place, you know? It's like a fellowshipping with God, and it's a call, you know, you and I have. If we fellowship with God, we are doing what? We're dwelling in a, you know, it's like a secret place. I'm like there with the Lord on the pillow, and he's giving me my instruction. I'm getting rule over my own spirit. Where am I getting it from? I'm getting it from the Lord, right? I'm taking heed how I build, because it's very important as a believer how I'm building. What does he say? He that, Psalm 91:1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, what? Abides under the shadow. Where do I want, what shadow do I want to be under? Amen. The shadow of the Almighty. I want this protection. I want this watch. Now, how do I get it? I'm pillow talking with the Lord, right? I'm allowing my spirit to be ruled by his spirit, right? You know, I mean, he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, if you'll turn there in verse, 18. And it's just about, I'm beholding something. Like I do have a choice to make. And it's like, I live in here, you know, you live in there, the Spirit of God lives in there, the issues of life is in there, the Spirit is in there, and the world's out here. I am in the world. I am not of the world. Right? Is the world influence me? Oh yeah, you know, if I go down the road and hit a car, I got a car accident, so do you, right? If I don't eat, I get hungry, right? Yeah, I am in the world. But the car accident doesn't determine who I am, right? The Spirit of God determines who I am. So I'm living by the Spirit of God in the world. Remember, we can look at it this way. It's kind of the reverse order. 2 Corinthians, 3:18, is it, right? You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, right? And we, like, with an open face, this means, like, I'm with the Lord, and I am doing what? I am beholding, as in the glass, the glory of the Lord. I'm getting something from the Lord, right? You know, I love it. You know, people say, like, I'm working for rewards in heaven. And, you know, thank God, right? But then, like, I have rewards on the earth. This is like the extra benefit of the believer priest. I have rule over my spirit here, and I get a benefit instantly because of it. He says, I behold with an open face as in the glass the glory of the Lord. And what happens to me? I'm changed. I am transfigured. How? Into like his image. Is that futuristic? Well, that's today. That's me being me changed today. That's me having a rule over my spirit and having instantaneous effect in my life. Amen? I am not going to be like the wall is turned down because I have no rule and because the atmosphere comes at me and throws something that I cave under it. I've got a great defense. It's the Spirit of God. I mean, we love to say things like, hey, God is for me. Nothing can be against me. Isn't that a good cheery on verse? And it's a very real verse. And it's a good cheery on verse. But how is it working in practicality? Amen? And like, here's where that verse becomes a practical verse. I begin to see piece by piece in my life. Wait a minute. God is, maybe this is happening. But you know what? God's. Hey, things happened to Jesus Christ too, didn't they? Yes? Oh, actually, he was crucified, you know? And because of that, we get to learn and we get to behold. And it does what? I'm like my inner man, right? Let's look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, my inner man, as he continues in that thought, he says, in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. We're not fainters. Right? Oh, it is too much for me. It is not. A believer never has to say, it's too much for me. Is it a Bible promise? It's a Bible promise, right? We faint not. Sometimes we're close. Sometimes we feel like, you know, remember like the disciples in the boat, we perish. You know, you can feel that way. But, you know, 1 Corinthians, I'm thinking it's 11:13, right? He will not give you more than you are able, right? Is that a promise? Yeah, I may faint, but I'm not perishing. It's not more. There's a purpose in it. And if I'm looking to God, you know what? I'm going to see the real purpose. Like, you ever get that? Why is this happening to me? But it's a good question. But sometimes we look at it like on the negative side. Why is this happening to me? Instead of like, Lord, what do you have for me in this? You see what I mean? Same trial. Difference is, I think I'm going to try to behold God in it. And you know what? There, I'm going to get a victory that is like a walled city. Amen. So my trials, and I mean, you know, we have all these verses about our trials, count it all joy. You know, we just like throw those out the window. Like, what do you mean? I'm not doing that. You know, but here we begin to see the practicality of it. Is that like, God's doing a deep work. And you know what? You know, what a promise, you know, in John, you know, 16:33, right? In the world, you will have the tribulation. Like, come on. Don't you know that is part of life? It's not like I'm a believer and it's a bed of roses. Actually, it is in one sense because we have the way of escape. You know, back again, let's make sure I'm quoting that. 1 Corinthians 10, make sure we're quoting it right. Yeah. Sometimes we can be off a chapter or something and you go look it up and go, where in the world was that guy? And I do that too. It's 1 Corinthians 10, yeah. In verse 13, like, no temptation has taken you, but the things that happen to man, that is common to man. What? Oh, I'm going through more. No, this is the things that happen to men. You got it? Oh, no, this is too good. No, no. This is the things that happen in life. No, mine is greater. Right now, at this moment, it feels like it's the most horrible thing that could ever happen to you, but you know what this is? This is the things that happen in life. Okay? Got it? And like, if I'm walled in this way, when it hits hard, you know, cause the enemy, he doesn't just kinda, he hits hard, doesn't he? And if I'm like, if I'm in rule of my spirit, I will say, you know, wait a second, this is taking me down. But you know what? God's got a plan. I recently had a friend, he's just going through a big trial, and I sent him that verse in Ecclesiastes 7, I think it's 7:11-12, right? In the day of prosperity, rejoice. Yes. Now that day we like. But in the day of adversity, do what? Consider God. Why? He says one against the other. Why would you do that, Lord? Because I want you to learn something that you know nothing as of yourself. You need to keep coming to the source. We're not ever called to be by ourselves. We're called to be fellowshipping with God. The pillow talk is important with the Lord, right? I need, as a believer priest, tabernacle with the Lord. You know, I've never regretted any decision that I've ever made with the Lord. How about you? I regret a lot of other decisions, but never them. You know what I mean? You never regret the things you've done in the Lord. Just don't do it. Why? Because God's there. But I can live unto myself. I regret all kinds of self. And this is it, like us as believers, like the inner man, right? The outward man is perishing. We faint not, right? Let's go back there in, Second Corinthians, for we faint not, though the outward man is perishing. Things are crumbling. Things are changing. What's happening in the inward man? That wall is being built, right? I got rule over my own spirit. And it's not a self-pride-ish type of rule. It's not a rule that I'm confident with. It's a rule that I am hearing the voice of God. And the Spirit of God is teaching me things. And it gives me a rule over my spirit, right? I am a fortified city by the grace of God. This is why David says, I will not be moved. And in another place, Psalm 62, Psalm 11, I will not be greatly moved. Why? Because I am a walled city. You know, okay, maybe I want to take my liberties. You think my liberties, like, you know, that are, I'm talking about liberties like as the occasion to the flesh, right? We're called to liberty, but not to the occasion of the flesh, but let's look at it in Galatians chapter 5. Who hasn't, God forbid, but, you know, we are real people. Who hasn't used a liberty for the flesh? Verse 13, Galatians 5:13. For, you know, you've called to liberty. The liberty is to do what? Is to behold the glory of God and be changed to his image, right? But he says, you're called to liberty, but not to the flesh. That means not to, like, you know, please yourself. Got it? Right? And that, you know, it's okay to have your luxuries, but that can't be the underlining purpose. That is like a city falling down. And the end of the road is nothing but calamity. But I have a liberty to receive the God. So he says, we have liberty, but not for an occasion to our flesh, but to, like, serve God. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says it like this way, that we henceforth, right? Like from now on, guys, I don't live. You know, sometimes all we know how to live is on Thursday. Isn't that pitiful? Here I am a believer and I only know how to live for me. I only know how to live unto myself. I only know what I want. I only know my personal peace. You know what it tells me? If in this life only, right, we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. So can I be a believer and be miserable? Unfortunately, yes, you can. Right? Got it? How does it happen? Living unto self, right? But he says, but we're called not, you know, we don't do that, but that, let's see, it's in 2 Corinthians 5, right, 15, that he died for all, that we which live henceforth live not unto myself. There's a rule here in the spirit. Got it? The spiritual wall. How am I living? Right? I mean, it's quite easy just to live on. Hey, I'm the only one here. Who else am I going to live unto? I'm living unto myself. But here he says not. Not? No, come on, tabernacle with me. You know? Right? You know, we love that verse and, you know, we all know it. It gets quoted a lot in Matthew 6:33, right? I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to me. Well, isn't that beautiful? God's going to give me everything I want. But we forget, like, the first part is, not living unto myself, but who am I living unto? Right? I don't live unto myself, but I live unto him which died and rose again. Like, my number one concern is, say, Lord, I know how to get angry quick. What do you say, Lord? Right? Amen? Right? We're all living here, aren't we? We're all walking. We're all making decisions. And like, what kind of city am I? Am I broke down? You know, anything that wants floods in? Or am I legalistic? You know, that's a tough one too. I have to be, my wall has to be a relationship orientation to the Spirit of the living God, right? So the outward man, like, yeah, it is perishing, but what is happening with the inward man back in, you know, 2 Corinthians 4? The inward man is renewed day by day. For, in verse 17, our light affliction is but for a moment. You know, that thing that feels like it's a force, like it's going to knock you down. Just step back, because it's only for a moment. You ever notice that? Things hit hard, but really it's only for a moment. And I have to be very careful not, you know, I used to tell people, don't make decisions like when you're under pressure. Make decisions when you're in the presence of God. Amen? Because things hit hard for a moment, and the ideal is for you to make a decision in that moment, because you'll make a bad one, right? And we back up and go, oh man, it hurts, but wait a second. I got someone I tabernacle with. Wait a minute, I got a secret place, right? I'm a walled city, and I receive instruction from the Spirit of God, and that makes me like very strong, right? Got it? And so when the things hit, this is being slow to speak, slow to anger, right? I'm not doing it, but I'm backing up and saying, whoa, wait a second here. Let's settle down and let's not say nothing. Remember, even a fool appears wise if they be quiet. You got it? Like even a fool, like if they'll just shut their mouth, it's like you feel like you're wise. Just slow to respond to things, because things do hit hard, right? You know, and the enemy is the master of the blind side, right? Not where you expect it, like me and my little thing yesterday with the money. Get you where you don't expect it. And I'm lamenting just because, you know, I feel like I've lost my mind, you know, what you're always worried about as we get older. That's all you ever hear about anymore, you know, old timers. And you feel like it's happening to you. And then it's like, it's my wife's fault. I mean, of course, I blame her, because I blame her for almost everything. But I'm not condoning that, by the way. It's wrong, but you know, that's just how, especially when she says, oh yeah, and then I'm like, well, where is it? She said, well, I put it somewhere else. I'm like, what? Put it back. Stormed off, probably mad for the next 2 hours, man. Then I'm mad at myself for getting mad. That gives you another hour of anger, you know? You know, 3 hours of suffering, you know? Then I'm exhausted. I gotta go to bed early because I'm tired because I've been mad so long. Aren't we funny as people, you know? God, if we just follow the design, we really do good, you know, but like, I don't know, things are always just trying to, you know, and the thing is, you know what too, like just be honest enough, like with yourself, like, you know, like I'm an idiot. I mean, we don't want to be idiots. Right, and sometimes we like to like give an appearance like we're all cool, calm, and collective, and that's really a lie. So don't even go there. I don't want your church face, okay? All right, we're holy today, baby. Here we are. Wait till we get home, or before you came to church. You know, we used to have this. I think my wife and I, when we were, I don't think we were even saved yet. We're like, we used to fight every day on the way to church, you know, every Sunday morning. It was like a battle just to get there, you know. When we got through that, but you know, this is how the enemy works. And like, what are we doing? We're building a wall. God's got answers. And we're beholding. What do we mean when we behold the glory of God? It means this written word being alive for like my present situation, and it doesn't change it. Not like we're not talking pie in the sky, high emotion. Oh, God loves me, even though I like that too. Wrong. I love that the Spirit of God can touch me in a moment, and I know that it's up there. Okay. But my doctrine is the Spirit of God using the written word for me to learn how to rule. Got it? That's my doctrine. Got it? So I love the, but I can't let that be my wall, because that emotion is not meant to rule only to respond and appreciate. If the emotion rules, I'm doing good now, but I'm not doing good in 30 minutes after church is over and I'm driving in the car. We want to be those that, like, we are very stable, right? Why? Because we got rule over our own spirit, right? We're slow to respond to things. And so, like we're running down a highway, and yeah, maybe there are some hills and there's some valleys, but like, what does he say, you know, in Zechariah 4? I will shout like grace, grace to the mountain. And what does it do? It becomes a plain. So we become like we are walking on this earth before the Spirit of God. And it's like we're walking in an even place. Why? The storm's coming. But I'm in an even place. Why? Because I've learned to have rule over my own spirit by the Spirit of God. Amen. And you know, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, First Corinthians, he says, take heed. You know, and this is like important. Let's look at it. We'll close there. 1 Corinthians 3, I believe. You know, and I love it for, verse 10. It says, you know, according to the grace of God given to me. I love it because it's our foundation. It is our life. It is the fact that, like, Christ paid the price, and that grace is bestowed upon me, and that grace is not in vain, right? And it's made me, like, in 1 Corinthians 50:10, it says, made me a laborer. And here, he says, grace God makes me a wise master builder. I'm learning how to handle situations. I'm learning how to think. I'm learning how to maybe shrink the little pleasures that were like really making the wall go down. You know what I mean? By the grace of God, you know, and I'm becoming very even and very stable. Like, cause I got a long race to run, right? You know, in 1 Corinthians 9. But he says, according to the grace given to me, I become a wise master builder, right? I lay a foundation. In other words, everyone take heed what, how he builds, for there is no other foundation that a man that can build upon except what? Jesus Christ. Beholding, still talking, right? The written word becoming the living word for my life. And then I can see, like, I can see my spouse differently. I can see my job differently. See my children differently, you know, and not like have things have me on the edge, like I'm a walled city. And I don't mean it like I'm self-centered and protective. It means like I, the word of God is what things come through. You know, when we say walled city, it's not like a little self-protection, and people do this. They get their little self-protected world that protects them, and like, so nothing can come in. But for us, things come in, but what are they going through? They're going through the word of God and the Spirit of God before they reach me. Amen. I mean, only Christ, you know, our example, like, you know, here's Judas at the table, like, go do what you do quickly. What? I gotta beat that guy with a stick. I mean, you know, natural, right? But here's Christ. What is this? He's a walled city. He's walking before the Father. There's things going on around them. Remember when they tried to throw him off the cliff and he just like walks through the midst in the Spirit? This is our walk, believer priests, right? We have a fellowship with God, and it covers every error. I don't know what to do with my husband. I don't know what to do with my wife. I don't know what to do with my kids. Well, guess what? God does. Amen. I don't know what to do with my ex. God does. You know, I don't know what to do with my boss. God does. You know, maybe takes a little humility on your part, because you have to humble yourself to hear the voice of God. But like, God's results are long-term effect, aren't they? And so like, we want to be those that do what? We take heed. How we build. We're building like for the future. We have a house not made with hands, right? That's eternal in heaven. And we look not, and let's just finish that 2 Corinthians 4 thought, because I know we started a lot of little thoughts here. Verse 17, 16, the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. Our light affliction is but for a moment. But what can it do? It works in us a far more exceedingly weight of glory. That's that wall being built by the Spirit of God. So we look not on the things that are seen. Yeah, we live in the world. We see the world, but I don't live by the world. It doesn't tell me how to think. You got it? I don't surrender the spiritual to the natural. I have the natural surrender to the spiritual. Amen? While I look not on the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Here I am with the Lord. That's where the real power is. God's guiding. The things that are seen is going to change, right? Not seen, right here. What is it? Eternal. Through God. We're building. Let's be good builders. Let's behold the glory of God. Let's not live just unto ourselves like, you know, yeah, you, no one sees. Well, eternity sees, right? You know, like, am I guarding my heart? Right? Am I careful what I am letting in? Am I quick or am I slow to anger? And you know, that thought of anger too, maybe it's not even an outward anger. It can just be like an inward anger. Some of us have perfected that rather well. You know, like a woman can shut down because she's angry, right? That's what I'll get, but for my wife, you know, I hate the shutdown, man. Answer me, Doctor. Oh, that's an anger too, isn't it? You know what I mean? And sometimes we just get mad at God about something. Is that an anger? Yeah, it is. And it prevents us from hearing clearly what the Spirit of God would say. Let's let God maintain, like, let's let God, like, keep that, like, that avenue of, like, you know, hearing His voice and receiving the divine. For his life. Amen. Alrighty, let's just stand and we'll pray and we'll dismiss you guys. Father, we're thankful this morning, this time in your word, and it goes so quick, Lord. What a privilege to worship your name. Learn your word, be guided by your Spirit, Lord. You know, take the body of Christ here, Lord, and let us become those that like behold your glory, changing every day, changing into your image. Things that, mind battles that we are fighting way too long. God, that like we would allow your Spirit to gain entrance and settle. There'd be many unresolved things, past, present. Oh God, you are our helper in time of need. We will say, we will not fear what man can do. Because you are, Lord, and this work, this wall, spirit man in each and every one of us, God, you know, being built up by who you are, Lord. Let it happen in our lives. And if you're here today and like maybe you've been here a long time and you don't know Christ, let the Spirit of God touch you, convict you, cause you to say, I need a Savior. I need divine direction. Let it happen in your life. In the precious name of Christ. Amen.